Call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Weaver, here. Flores?
Here.
Donald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Flores?
Here. Okay, first up, from our correspondents, we have a request from the emergency squad for a block party for its 75th anniversary. How are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
Excellent.
Would you be so kind as to give your name and address for the record?
My name is John Nissen. I live at 117 Myrtle Ave in the Borough. Been on the squad now for about 7 months.
Okay.
So, well, as you know, September 3rd, we'd like to have our 75th open house block party. We're requesting a street closing from Church Street to Stewart Street, which is basically right in front of the squad house and the firehouse.
Right.
We're going to seek permission from the local neighbors, and upon approval of that, we can get the permit for the street closing.
Okay.
Basically, the block party will be in front of the squad house and the two side lots.
Okay.
Open house is going to be from 12 to 7 p.m. And after 7 p.m., we're going to have a private party, squad members only and family, in the squad house.
Okay.
After that, festivities are going to consist of balloon rides for the kids, balloon slide, bounce house, dunk tank, face painting. We have the Washington Police Department coming in with the canine unit, do a demonstration. The fire department is also going to have the smokehouse open and demonstrate fire safety for the children. And the first aid squad is also going to have basic first aid skills for the general public
okay.
to watch.
A certified class or just general?
Nah, just the general information.
Not to treat
class.
The minors. Basic stuff.
Basic stuff.
Gotcha.
We're going to have prize giveaways to the children, general public, T-shirts, mugs. We're going to have free food, which is going to consist of hot dogs, barbecue chicken, steamed clams. Birch beer is going to be served free, and we're also going to have a beer truck on the side of the squad house.
Okay.
With the beer truck, it will be fenced in with two senior members at the gate. There will be one way in, one way out. They're going to check IDs, and we're also going to have a senior member on the truck checking IDs.
Okay.
And beer will be, you have to pay for it.
Okay.
And, basically, I guess the permit's been applied for the beer truck.
Okay.
But we're still waiting on permission for the street closing and stuff like that. So.
Okay. And I see that you'll still be able to get the vehicles out. I'm just
yes.
curious as to where the vehicles are going to be.
We'll probably have the vehicles out on the apron, and it will be clear in front of the squad house so we can get out on Belvedere Ave.
Okay.
Out of the light, so. And Oxford will also be... and response mode, too, if we have a problem.
Their emergency squad yep. or both their emergency?
Both emergency and, I believe, fire, though. So.
Okay. You want to have any other questions?
I just
spoil?
John, on the letter here, it says the party is from 2 to 10.
Well, Lisa told me today 2 to 7 p.m. For the general public.
Okay. And the beer will be sold 2 to 7?
Yeah, that's
okay.
it.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Fallon, do you see any problems really with the street being closed?
It's no different than any other road closure as long as all the emergency services are
in. It's kind of a major road, that's the only reason I asked.
It's hard to say. I mean, okay. obviously, you know, there's no greater risk than any other road. Obviously, there's more vehicles that travel down Belvedere.
Right.
But do they put up, like, you know, detour signs, like for someone coming down, say,
We'll have horses probably right across.
We'll need some kind of a detour sign, you know, but that way, handmade, I guess, would be fine.
Sure, we can work that out.
Yeah.
Detour signs. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. we'll have to post detour signs down here and also down by Stewart Street, though.
Yeah, and more for people that aren't familiar with the area that end up coming down that way, there's nothing worse than all of a sudden then the road's closed and there's no detour signs and you don't know where to go.
Well, I'll bring that up at our squad meeting, then we need to properly post signs.
Okay, do you have any other questions or concerns?
None for me, Mayor.
Then I would accept a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and we hope to see you there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do our best.
Take care.
Okay, I'm going to deviate from our agenda a little bit. We have Kevin Hopkins here who wants to speak to us about the sale of the old DPW garage. So we'll get you up first so you can cut your costs down on Mr. Salvaggi there. I know it's
but it costs very well spent. I'm Michael Salvaggi from Quarter Colburn Cohen. Kevin Hopkins is here to my left, and we are here on behalf of Gibson's Gym, and we will be brief. I know Kevin had sent to the borough manager a little while ago a written proposal. We're here this evening to present it to you, hopefully answer some questions, and get at least some direction that this is a proposal or an opportunity you want to explore further. You often hear, and it's overused in my opinion, these public-private partnerships are win-win for everybody. And a lot of times they're really just a win for the developer or whoever the private entity is. However, I think this is a proposal that really is a win for both parties. And Mr. Hopkins, as he will explain in a minute, is taking on, is prepared to take on a tremendous obligation. And not only in terms of cleaning up the subject property, but even in the future, because his proposal does call for this property, once it's fixed, to be made available not only for his business, but for all businesses up and down the downtown area. And it's something that he's prepared to do with his own money. And it's an opportunity for a municipality like Washington Borough, not much different than any others, that are cash-strapped and are looking for new ventures to be able to provide a benefit for its consumers, its business owners, as well as its residents at very little cost to itself. But what I'd like to do is, Kevin has done a lot of the legwork, has spent a lot of money already without any firm or written commitment from you guys, but I think it's a showing of good faith and has given him an opportunity to know that this is an opportunity that's worth pursuing and one that he's prepared to make. So, Kevin, if you want to run through it quickly, and we're going to refer to his proposed partnership, which I think you have all hopefully received.
Thank you for hearing us tonight. First off, I'd just like to, you know, give a little background on it. The old DPW site, I mean, we're all well aware, is in, you know,
force
in shambles, you know, and you know, Gibson's Gym has relied on that for just about 35 years now as its primary source of parking. So, in conjunction, you know, with the lot that we own, which is part of the old bakery lot, that comprises roughly 30% of that area back there. The other 70%, you know, is the old borough DPW lot or lot 57. You know, what I would like to do and what I'm proposing, you know, which conforms with the downtown redevelopment plan, is to, you know, at our expense, you know, I would like to acquire the site from the borough. I would like to demolish all the old road department buildings. We would like to prepare the site within guidelines of the DEP as far as stormwater management. We have already taken on, done a phase one environmental, you know, had a few different engineering firms back there to direct us. One was involved in the environmental, Joe Novelli, you know, and actually map out and grid what is considered impervious cover. That way, you know, we make sure that there is no net increase in impervious cover due to the stream back there. And basically, you know, after the demolition of the buildings, you know, build a surface parking area.
the, you know, one course of remediation recommended by the environmental firm was, you know, an engineered asphalt cap. And, you know, that works well. I mean, it works well in the sense that, you know, we need parking. And when I say we, I don't just mean Gibson's Gym. I mean, you know, businesses at large downtown. You guys know. I mean, you've all heard it. It's the fight. You know, every bid meeting, you know, everything revolves around parking in the downtown, you know, obstruction of the street parking. And we, you know, we take a lot of the spots. We have a traffic flow on our peak days of 700-plus members. It's a lot of parking in and out. But having said that, we do generate a lot of business within the downtown and do bring a lot of traffic into the downtown, as well as provide. We have a little over 43, you know, employees at this point. So we're, you know, we're a good employer. I think this would just be, you know, a feather in all of our cap. It would, you know, give us additional parking, and it would also give the town additional parking, because what I am proposing is to do this, and through some mechanism, whether it's a deed of easement, lease back, you know, whatever Mr. Cushing and Mr. Salvaggi, you know, feel is the most appropriate arrangement, you know, we would incur all the costs. It would become a ratable for the borough. You know, we'd be paying taxes on it now. But we would actually either deed an easement or come to some other arrangement where, you know, I would never be able to restrict parking, charge for parking. It would be an open public lot. And, you know, we've always been a strong supporter of whether it's, you know, the 4th of July or different downtown events, and, you know, and financially support those events. This would further support those events, because anyone that has been to a festival in the borough, the parade, anything else, knows that that lot, even though it's a mess, is completely packed. And we're shut. You know, we close at noon on 4th of July. That parking lot gets filled up for Orange Crate Derby, everything else. So basically, it would allow the borough to utilize that for functions, you know, other businesses to utilize that. It would also, by demolishing the road department building, which I'm not sure, I know Councilman Higgins is aware of this, but your building is connected to my building. And the title search is very gray in, you know, the way everything was done in the 30s. You know, Charlie Smith bought the extreme easterly garage, which who knows what that is. You know, no one really knows. All we know is we own a chunk of that lot 57, and we also own easements through it. It's a mess. You know, I mean, it's a mess. We're not going to develop it. We'll deedlock it so nobody else will develop it. And along with the parking, it's going to allow for, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 1.25 to 1.5 acres of green space. So, you know, it'll be safer, nicer, you know, and it's a win-win for everybody, as well as it's going to take away the hazard, because I, you know, John Byrd may be able to attest to this, but I don't know if you guys understand the grade change that occurs back there, but that road department building can actually be accessed by kids. They get up on top of that road department building with their bikes, ride around. Now, the top part is about a 16 or 18 foot drop, so it's a matter of time before somebody gets hurt. And it's a mess I'd love to see, you know, solved, and, you know, hopefully we can be a part of it.
How many spaces do you have?
It will basically the initial layout that Jeff Simons came up with to allow for 24-foot aisles, you know, to pass, and along with 9.5 by 18-foot spots. It's 152 spots. Right now, when I left, it was packed all the way to the back of the salt shed from Felix's to Allegher Street. There are 80 cars. So it's going to double the parking. Double the parking, clean everything up, improve green space. And then, you know, I even have Felix on board with, we're going to take the, we're going to pave from the back of his steps all the way to Allegher, you know, and do all that as part of the cap. And then he and I talked about actually taking the, there's an alley between the bakery building, which we refurbished back in 2002, built it, and do a paver walkway between our building and Felix's building, along with gooseneck lighting up to the street to allow for like a nice pedestrian access. That way you don't have people trying to walk up that I don't even know whether it's an entrance or an exit, or, you know, they use it for everything, but right where the pedestrian crosswalk is, so they'll make it safer. No, and I'm not going to lie, I mean, you know, I would never restrict parking back there, because every single resident in Washington, whether they go to flea golfs, or, you know, they go get their dog groomed, is a potential member for me. So, for me, you know, I look at it as, you know, it's a business opportunity, and it's an opportunity for the town, you know, so...
And just to keep this quickly in perspective, because, you know, when, as an attorney, when you hear, well, I'm going to make it open to the public, I mean, we have all kinds of thoughts, like, oh my gosh, but you understand that on Christmas, if we make this available to the public, and it snows, you're going to go out there, maybe not you personally, but have it plowed, and assume that maintenance responsibility.
Exactly, so...
I have a question, just
quickly.
Of the 152 spots, Kevin, how many have to be designated for a handicap?
I don't have all those now. Yeah, whatever. We didn't even get into that yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we paid for title, environmental, preliminary engineering, you know, from an engineering standpoint to find out what would actually, you know, what would be allowed since there is a stream buffer back there.
Right.
You know, all the initial stuff, so we haven't even gotten into that.
Kevin, I have a question, too.
Yes.
When you regrade, I'm sure there's going to have to be some fill removed. Was there any engineering concerns?
There's no fill going to be moved. It's actually going to be RCA brought in, recycled concrete aggregate brought in. And that will be done. Yeah, to fill it up and not change grade. Because if we change grade, then we get into, you know, violating stormwater management, which is Section 10 of the DEP on stormwater management. So we cannot, you know, other than demolish those buildings, we can't get into, you know, making major grade changes.
Okay.
So, any other questions anyone have?
I thought we were going to go into executive session to discuss it.
Oh, but if we do negotiations in particular, we would, but this part of it has to be
there. Well, what really, Ms. Weaver, I mean, what we're looking for is, and I would defer to Mr. Cushing, I mean, legally this can be done. We're an adjacent property owner. Mr. Cushing is more than capable of going through what the legal requirements are. We want to make this presentation, see that this proposal has legs, and I would defer to Mr. Cushing as to how you want to play that out. I mean, whether it's a subcommittee and we meet and do something like that, it's not for us to you know, dictate to you how it gets done. But before he spends another nickel, except on perhaps me, Kevin wants to make sure that...
Everybody heard it, a nickel.
That's a big issue. You know what I said, cliche before, it's the same thing. We're not whistling in the dark on this, and that's really why we're here. And if you go into executive session and you want to talk about it, obviously you have that right. And we would wait to hear from you as to what the next step would be, which would hopefully be to talk about a purchase agreement.
Two questions, Mr. Hopkins. First off, is you don't have any plans to turn your building around. You're just going to have a simple entrance exit at the back of your...
Right, we'll have an entrance exit.
Anything on 57.
But what will happen is, you know, majority of your people will park back there then. You know, you will have, you'll alleviate a lot of the on-street parking as far as congestion, you know.
I mean, we want to keep the aesthetics of it, you know, in front.
Exactly.
The same.
Yep. No, I mean, I just had our building repainted, you know, the front of it over the weekend. So, I like the way it looks, you know. I'm kind of proud of that, actually.
Okay.
In case there were any questions, I brought Bill along, because Bill, you know, back 9 years ago, kind of spearheaded the redevelopment when the bid first formed and took the old bakery building and did that.
He volunteered to be our poster boy at one point.
Yep. I also brought Justin Hay from Cortez and Hay, who did the title work. That way, if anyone had any questions, you know, regarding historical stuff with
The other thing is, I remember in one of our plans for the downtown, I don't know if it's still current or not off the top of my head, was that we were going to continue Allegher Street all the way down until it meets to Vanata.
Vanata, right.
You know, as a potential. You've considered this in your plans?
I mean, that involves moving the water company and all. I mean...
Yeah, it's long term.
Yep.
You know,
I mean,
not something we expect to do next year kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything that... if that were to come to fruition, this proposal wouldn't do anything to hamper that.
No, because it's open, you know, it'll just be a blacktop cap. So actually, yeah.
I don't want to have to put a road in, you know, or propose to put a road in and take out 50 parking places to do it, you know, that's definitely a disadvantage.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, to say this is a permanent fix, I mean, there's also been speculation about a potential parking garage, I mean, that's all down the road, you know, as far as there's potential there to do whatever, I mean, but at this point, with the environmental concerns and just the state of the property as it sits, demolition and capping, I mean, is kind of, you know, the primary concern.
Is there a specific, like, legal proposal that you already, like, have in mind that you're going to present to us?
Well, what we would probably, and again, I would defer to Mr. Cushing, but customarily what you'd do is you'd have a contract of purchase, there'd be conditions associated with that. You know, in terms of, we'll be honest, in terms of a price point, I mean, we're looking at something exceedingly low. I mean, the cleanup, well, Kevin, what were the estimates you were getting for the...
Yeah, I mean, I'll leave all that to Mike and Dick, you know, if you guys do a, you know, committee.
But, I mean, it's an expensive proposal.
I have all that done, so you guys actually have all those figures, so whether you decide subcommittee or you decide with Mr. Cushing and Mr. Salvaggi, we have all those figures, so...
So, I mean, we're going to, you know, essentially what's going to happen is between the raising of the building and the environmental, you know, the property doesn't have a tremendous value. I mean, I think it's assessed at, what, like 90, I think?
Bare.
90 or something.
For the property.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so, and if you had to do a lot of those same costs, especially having to do it at bidding and all the other stuff, it would be expensive. So that would be, in general, what we'd look for. And then, as Kevin pointed out, cross easements or licenses, you know, however Mr. Cushing and I figure that out. So in terms of a hardcore proposal, we didn't want to be so presumptuous as to say, this is our offer,
we're not
going to take it or leave.
We're not even there yet. So it will be landscaped as well, so you guys know.
Just to give you an account, a little background on this thing. When a municipality sells land, there, first of all, we have to do an ordinance if you want to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, depending on the normal way to sell it, would be public bid. You have an ordinance, you say these are the conditions, and everybody submits a bid. Now, there is one additional method that it appears that this property may fit into, which is when you have a substandard lot, one that doesn't meet the zoning requirements, then the idea is that that lot should be incorporated into surrounding properties, so you end up with a conforming lot, okay? So what the statute provides is that you can offer that to adjoining property owners exclusively, okay, through a bidding process, a public bid. So the process would be if you elect to go ahead and want to move this property, then you create an ordinance. You would authorize it to be offered to the adjoining property owners, since this is a substandard property. And then, as I understand it, there's more than one adjoining property owner. So it would be offered in an objective way to all other property owners who met the criteria of the statute. In other words, they have to be adjoining property owners.
Mm-hmm.
And they could all bid. And whoever's the high bidder actually would get the property. Now, the problem with this particular property is that you have a couple of factors here. Number one, you have the land value, whatever that is. Then you have what I understand are deteriorated buildings and buildings that probably have no value or a negative value. And that's an important factor because that particular provision that you can offer it to adjoining property owners is only available if there's no capital improvements on the property. This has a building on it. I'm told that building needs to be condemned, that it's unsafe and probably has no value. So we have to kind of examine a little bit the question if we can consider that not to be a capital improvement because it has zero or negative value, all right? So we have that factor. And then we have the environmental issues that exist on this particular property, which again is normally a negative factor. So we have to, you know, we have to as a seller. And the reason you asked the question, you know, are we going to go into executive session?
So that's what my question is. I have a negotiation question.
Yeah, we originally the plan was to let Kevin come into executive session and talk to us.
But I didn't think that was right since we're selling property. In other words, we have to do it by a bid, even though it's confined to the adjoining property owners.
I'll ask my question. My question is, what did the tax assessor assess as $266,000?
Buildings.
Are they valued zero or are they worth $266,000?
Well,
that's where I'm on the...
That assessment could be 5 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
No, it's 2011 on that.
No, that just says for the current year, for that year, what it's assessed at. That last time it was looked at could be 5 or 10 years ago.
Right, and it could have been...
That's an excellent question. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's one that, what I would recommend, we're going to have to send the engineer out or somebody else out, and certainly maybe the construction code official. Obviously, if they say this building is unsafe and needs to be torn down, that's one issue. If they say, well, that's a great building, you know, whatever, that's a different issue. So that's something we have to work through in the process and get more factual information. I guess my recommendation would be this, just to kind of shortcut the process a little bit. What I would recommend, if the prospect of selling this particular land is intriguing, whether it's to Kevin or whoever the high bidder is, then I think number one, you want to give a copy of the environmental report to your engineer to kind of take a look at and evaluate from a couple of different levels. Number two, somebody's got to look at the building and say, you know, does this building have any value or is it a liability? You know, is it going to cost you $300,000 to tear it down or whatever?
Maybe the land is even less for all we know.
Could be.
I mean, that's the same.
It would be worth a trip, everybody, if you guys haven't been back there. Dave was back the other day, but it would really be worth a drive around back there.
I've been there recently.
Yeah. And you can see the salt shed that's shaped like
that.
Well,
that's why I was shocked to see the numbers I got. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get calls from, you know, a lot of the residents on Newman's Ave whose kids play around back in there. And we maintain our area, like, on both sides of the stream. We mow it, peat plants it, flowers and stuff. And, we get a lot of calls, you know, when are you going to tear those buildings? I'm like, I don't own them. You know what I mean? They just assume, because they see Pete mowing back there, that we own them. But that is part of the plan, too, is to landscape that back area and to landscape the front where that building is, and there's a grade change to landscape that. So it would be pretty neat.
What is the time frame, supposedly we all want to go ahead with this, from our legal, you know, the things we have to do is the engineering report, appraisal, write an ordinance, all this stuff. So what's the time frame?
First step would be we prepare an ordinance for you, authorizing the sale.
Right.
Then, you know, Rich can work out with the engineer and anybody else that from our end, you know, how long that's going to take to do the review. Obviously, the ordinance takes introduction and then passage. You're talking about a month or so. And then I think council probably needs to get together in an executive session to talk a little bit about the question of, you know, how you're going to structure, you know, you can't decide what the price, I mean, you could set a minimum price for the property. Again, that's a matter of public record what the minimum price is, because that would be in a bid document. But you might want to consider some of the issues relating to figuring out the environmental issues, figuring out the shape and the condition of the building and so forth. And then it seems to me that, you know, we would prepare a set of bid specifications. You know, that would set if you want to have a minimum price. You know, we'd have to factor in environmental issues. You know, how does that work? You know, what easements we would hold back. You know, in other words, what rights in the property we would hold back. In other words, the rights of the public to access it. You know, we talked about plowing and so forth.
So these details, the whole thing, maybe 6 months?
I would say you could do it probably sooner than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it all, you know, if you guys are interested, I mean, I'd like to go in the winter with a nice lot that isn't a disaster like last year.
Mm-hmm. So that's your perspective, hopeful, at least
yeah.
time frame.
If this is something that, you know, we're lucky enough to be the high bidder on,
right.
And it works out for everyone, you know, before the pavers start to slow down in October, I'd like to be laying blacktop, you know, prior to that.
So. Can we, I guess we can. It just occurred to me, I'm sorry for speaking out loud here, I guess we can set our restrictions before the bid.
Sure. You could set whatever conditions
okay.
you want.
And that's really
well,
what,
subject
that's
to statutory requirements. Yeah.
It would be a shame if one of the adjoining property owners had an ultimate plan that we weren't aware of and they happen to be the high bidder.
Hey, I'd love somebody to build me a lot.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
anybody else that wants to do this,
as long as it's a parking lot, that's fine.
Going into debt, you know,
right.
I'm really not
keen on it. I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's a fair comment. Let me just, one other question. The borough is going to incur some expenses to get this done.
Right.
And all this, you guys have created an escrow now. If you did create an escrow, and it's a strange situation, but we've done it, there would be no commitment that we would, you would get the property.
Right.
In other words, we have to basically offer it to anybody who fits within the statutory criteria.
Right.
So are you willing to do that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can do it. You know, it's interesting. There's that redevelopment case, which I would kind of make, where that was actually done, and the appellate division said that that was inappropriate. I don't necessarily agree with the decision, but the presumption was, since the redeveloper was the one poning up the escrow, there was this inherent thing. Look, your condition is fine. Kevin and I had spoken about that. I mean, that's, you know, something that we figured you might ask, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You would have asked.
Yeah. And I just point out that case to see where it's going, because, you know, but by all means, you know, maybe you build in the bid. If somebody else gets it, they can reimburse.
Yeah, that's possible, yeah.
And they can reimburse Kevin Hopkins and Gibson's gym.
Mm-hmm. Is there any Kevin that, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to make sure that these other gentlemen that he had brought, maybe give a quick opportunity at least to speak, because, you know, the more information possible, you know, to benefit of, especially the historical information, would be great to hear.
Am I to assume from the comment that you made earlier, Dick, that we take his environmental study and have our engineer review it?
Yeah. The other thing, just while I'm thinking too, is what I'd like to get your permission, Kevin, is if we do go out to bid, that we would supply as part of the bid package your report. We need to have your permission to do that.
I'll let my attorney answer that.
That's...
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems presumptuous, but we have to disclose all the facts information.
Yeah, I agree.
And it would create more awkwardness if we didn't do it.
Mr. Cushing, don't we have an environmental report from that from 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
On that site? I don't think so.
I have an NFA letter. There's underground storage tanks on the site.
Yeah, that's what
there's also an 8,000-gallon underground petroleum tank that you share with me. Under
so I think
it's a mess. So
the Pohat Valley Superfund site, I think, did something with that.
It's a wonderland back there.
Council have any other questions or concerns?
Yes, still there. with the DEP conditions that they are there, we can still sell that to him? You know, with the environmental conditions?
The
environmental conditions that exist we are aware of.
Yes. What part of what I understand the proposal is, or the discussions would be, that the seller would undertake the obligation to fully clean up the site. Now, you have, as an owner of the site, whatever liabilities you have from the standpoint of environmental liability. In other words, if there is problems on the site, it's currently your problem. What we would be doing through this is shifting it to them to actually do the cleanup, and I think that we would want to have our engineer looking over that process so that at the end of the day, we feel comfortable that the steps that were taken are acceptable from the DEP standpoint. I assume that Kevin is going to want to have that exact, you know, liability. So you can sell the property, Dave. The question is, you may not give up your liabilities if there remain environmental problems. I think that's what you're getting at there.
Exactly.
Yep.
And also along with that, though, you said to have Andrew oversee what process?
Well, what I would say is when Andrew looks it over, we want to make sure from the standpoint of the party conveying, in other words, that we're giving it, we want Kevin or whoever the bidder, high bidder is, to fulfill whatever obligations that the DEP would impose with respect to the sale of this property so that it would take care of whatever liabilities the borough might currently have because of existing conditions.
Now, the DEP would have to get involved because of the existing conditions that are there to okay the sale?
Well, I'm not sure that they're going to have to get, they don't have to okay the sale,
okay?
What it is they would have to make, this buyer, from the standpoint of his mortgage company,
from the standpoint of his own financial well-being, needs to know that when he's cleaning up the site, he's got to clean it up in a way that's not going to create problems for him down the road.
Right.
And I'll let you guys describe the steps that you would anticipate taking.
Actually, the phase one that we did,
yep,
was conducted by Brockerhoff, which, you know, environmental. They're an LSRP in New Jersey. And just so everyone knows, the DEP basically has done away with the NFA letter, that no further action letter. And now, you know, I went out, hired them, you know, in good faith, basically, you know, and provided that information to Rich. I did that on my own, mainly because before I came before you, I wanted to see what I was going to get into and make sure that economically I was going to be able to do it. And, you know, it's a mess, and I just wanted to see what are my options. You know, is excavation the only option? Can it be capped? You know, I needed to see what was out there. And that's basically, the DEP has shifted that to the LSRPs now.
Can you explain what an LSRP is?
So an LSRP is a licensed site remediation professional. They come in with an engineer, they come in with an environmental consultant, and it was an army of people. You know, there were three of them, two of them the first day, then three of them. Rich let them take a tour of the building. They go through the structures, and they actually look at everything from the potential of, you know, did they change oil in the bays? You know, did they have a parts washer? You know, these transformers that were hanging here, if they were here in the 50s, there used to be PCBs in the transformer. I mean, we went through the site with a fine-tooth comb. You know, there was a salt area here. What's the, you know, what's underneath the salt? They also come up with a sketch of the area, and they list everything that is considered impervious cover. And that gives us, you know, a leg up on the engineer in the sense that now we know the total square footage of impervious cover, we know what we can replace. And we'll actually have a net loss. So you guys know there'll be a net loss of impervious cover. There are certain areas that we will not have to cap, but I'll let, you know, I'll let the environmental and the engineer, you know, dictate that, so.
One other thing that we would ask for, and I'm not, you know, I looked at your zoning. I don't know if parking lots in and of themselves are a permitted use in the zone. We would hope that a site plan review might be waived, because then you got to go in and it's an additional expense or something to that effect. Just to avoid that, because I think my interpretation of the ordinance, and I could have misread it, that's certainly possible, is parking is an accessory use to another use, a business, and right now, you know, that may very well be.
Well, wouldn't you be combining the lots?
Well, if we can do it after, even then, though, somebody could still come in and say, well, you're combining it, you're adding this new space, this, you know, you need site plan approval.
If the objective is to have a conforming lot, it seems to me there's a reasonable argument to be made.
I agree.
You're going to consolidate the two into one conforming lot, and that the parking would be an accessory.
And
you're right, that's a concern.
Yeah,
we have
just,
to
yeah.
have the zoning officer address that.
That's exactly right.
Wouldn't this not have to go to the Board of Adjustments? Because our charge here is just about the sale of property, right?
I don't think it necessarily would. I think the question is site plan.
Yeah, maybe to the planning
board. Or planning board, yeah. Another, but besides council, because we're not going to get involved in that.
Yeah, I'm not, that's an issue that I think Mike has raised here, and we'd have to kind of look through that.
Okay.
But
okay.
The question is, you're joining two lots, okay? You're re-subdividing, I guess is the technical term. And it seems to me there's a reasonable argument, we'd have to look in a little more detail on this, that, you know, since you're combining it to one conforming lot, maybe you don't need a site plan. Maybe you do, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'd have to take a look at that.
Something we can work on.
Yep.
But I do believe this was scanned. You guys
yeah.
have it. So I
think
material.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure everybody read it.
Sorry.
I got through the first 50 pages.
Yeah, you're a better man than I am. No, I mean, it's actually, if you're going to read it, the first 40 or so pages are really where the substance is. The balance of it is exhibits and
searches.
Yeah, so it's not
redundancies.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Just in the interest of fairness, could we open it up to the audience for any questions that they may have for Mr. Hopkins or Mrs. Detlef? I knew your hand would be first.
What's going to keep somebody from not being here?
To be honest with you, if, that's fine. I mean, the whole thing is that I think with the bid, what they're, I mean, I spent all this money and yeah, I did it. I guess I'm crazy, but it is a feasibility study. But I mean, to be honest with you, I purchased the building from Bill. You know, I have 20 more years, you know, of a love affair with Skyline Bank. I'm falling out with underneath that mortgage. Like, I have a long-term commitment, you know, to the downtown. I've worked in the downtown ever since I was in college. You know, pharmacy school. I worked at Warren County Pharmacy for Jimmy and Jean. I'm not going anywhere. And I did this more or less to see if it was something that I would be, you know, interested to undertake. Because we do, you know, since Bill started in 1976, we've relied on that parking lot. And it's progressively gotten worse and worse and worse. So for my existence, I need that parking. If somebody was to outbid me and they want to do what I want to do, to be honest with you, I welcome them because it's going to be a public parking lot.
It won't be anything but public.
Well, that's exactly right.
It's going to be a public parking lot, so if they want to build me a lot,
he doesn't have to spend his money to do it.
Yeah,
he gets a parking lot without spending his money.
You know, this took a lot of, like, counseling, financial counseling from Bill and, you know, all right now. John.
Kev, them catch basins, are you going to rebuild them catch basins?
Yes, yeah. That was the drainage that they recommended.
Yeah.
All right, that one in the back by your back door, is that going to hold the flow or no?
Yeah, basically, they said that since we can't get into re-draining because of the whole excavation, if we were going to change total impervious cover or the area of impervious cover, like if we were going to take impervious cover from A and put it over to B,
right,
then we would have to do something, but since we're actually going to shorten it a little bit, and then the idea is to landscape the back of that lot around the stream. I consulted with, like, Muskingum River Watershed, all those guys, about what plants we should put back there to help with impede flow and all that.
That's the only question I have.
Right.
What about the mammals that
live
there? The rats the size of bulldogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They can bid on the property too if they choose. And they can work out of the gym also.
That's
the potential cut even bigger.
The back green space actually is going to be a public kind of, like, a recreation sitting, you know, kind of area. I mean, we're just, we're trying. You know what I mean? Like, we bought the business from Bill in 2003, and the few years prior to that, we bought the old bakery building, renovated our building, and, you know, we had people telling him and telling us we were crazy then. That kind of spearheaded some of the, you know, we're trying just to get something going. You know, I mean, I think it would be good. It would be a good sign to other businesses in the downtown. You know, hopefully spark some people to reinvest a little bit. You know, it doesn't take a lot to paint a building and, you know, put some windows in.
Okay. Surrounding.
Andy Surrounding from the Washington Den. I just wanted to point out that I hope you all will work and support this. As Kevin pointed out, it's not just for Gypsy Gym, and it's also not just for the businesses. There are plenty of residents who will really enjoy that. I'm sure everybody's well aware of how difficult it was to get funding for the parking lot, where the clock is. We're still paying that loan off. It's going to be quite a while. We wouldn't have gotten a loan if there was grant money and funding out there to do these types of things. Believe me, most of those have dried up, and the ones that are available come with a requirement for matching funds. So this is a wonderful opportunity for everyone to benefit in the town. You'll have a rateable on the property. You'll have an improved a project that is going to sit there and just deteriorate worse and worse if somebody doesn't take it on. And this is just a wonderful opportunity for everyone to be a public lot, and it will help the businesses, it will help the residents, and it will be a very good thing for all of you. And it will also roll out your redevelopment plan, which, as I said, with grant money the way it's looking right now, that's the key part. We're all committed to the redevelopment plan, and this is a way to help to execute it.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public have a question? I just had one other one, Kevin, that I just thought about. You're going to have lighting in the parking lot?
Yeah, basically, we will light it. I contacted JCP&L about poles, dawn and dusk lights, you know, and then there'll be dawn and dusk lighting on the back of our building, so sufficient. I mean, we're not going to implement the acorn lighting on the street because part of, like, an engineered asphalt cap is it's got to be impervious. So we can't have, like, islands and, you know what I mean? We couldn't construct it. It's got to be more mass parking, similar to, like, an Acme or whatever.
Well paved.
But it will be there. I mean, the cops love the idea because right now they go back there and it's, those buildings block the view of everything, so this will open all that up.
And hopefully it won't go into the windows of the people on Allegra.
There's fencing on the side of, there will be fence on the front where the grade change is, where the road department building actually sits now. There's a grade change. That is going to be backfilled and landscaped, so that whole front will be like a landscape bank, and there'll be like a retainer fence put up there to keep people from driving off or, you know.
But the lot won't be fenced for itself.
No, nope.
Anything else? And I would accept a motion to create an ordinance to go forward with this negotiation and sell the property.
So moved.
Okay, John, you'll second. How's that?
Okay.
Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call.
Hagan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
McDonald?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
Reba?
Yes.
And Mayor, just to follow up on the process here, I think it makes sense to have our engineer take a look at this fairly early in the process.
Yes.
Because you have a couple of layers of issues. You have the environmental, but then you have, I won't call them site plan issues because that's perhaps not the right thing, but I think it makes sense to have the engineer weigh in early on. Kevin has his views. His engineers have his views, but ultimately you look to your municipal engineer to give you guidance in this area. So I think it would be worthwhile to get those kind of discussions early on to make sure that this is moving along and doesn't create a surprise at the end for whoever the successful bidder is.
I agree.
So as part of the ordinance, you'll set up the escrows and all that stuff?
We probably won't do it as part of the ordinance. The only thing we do is, as part of the ordinance, is authorize the sale pursuant to the particular statutory scheme that we're going to follow. I think we're going to follow. It's conceivable if we can't work through the capital improvement issue. It's conceivable we might have to go to a public bid on this, but we'll take a look, and we have to work that through. We have to kind of examine the law a little bit and figure out, you know, whether this building has any utility at the present time and would be considered a capital improvement. And that's, Andrew can be useful in that area, and the construction code official can be useful in that area. Okay?
Okay.
So, and I will talk to Mike about the case that he was concerned about. We'll have a discussion, but we'll see if we can set up the escrow and work that out.
Yeah, I'm asking for language that we can work through, because we're doing a redevelopment in Mount Arlington. We're on the redevelopment attorney, and, you know, we've worked through it, but I just wanted to bring it to
you. Yeah, I'm glad you did. Thanks.
All right.
We'll talk about that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
That being done, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Just come on up, Mrs. Detlef. You don't have to sit there with your hand raised, hiding in the corner.
I'm Edna Detlef. I live on Fisher Avenue. I know that Justin's not here, and he's part of the emergency squad. Mm-hmm. And I was just hoping that somebody would suggest to the emergency squad that when they do their in general safety thing that they're going to do at their block party, they include something about electricity. I mean, like, if somebody gets hit by a wire, what do? You know, I have no clue.
Hold the vote.
Hopefully you don't have to do that. I don't want to call them for two people. One would be bad enough, you know. Okay.
We could certainly suggest that. Blanchard, you would make a note to suggest that.
Thank you.
But in that case, you either pull the plug on whatever they're touching and hit them with a non-conductive object to get them away from it.
Yeah, but if you take a wooden pole to somebody that's in water, What does that do to you?
Yeah, I wasn't considering it in the water, but like if that microphone shorted out when you were there, I'd hit you over the head with the podium.
Oh. God.
But, you know, that's one way to get somebody away from electrical.
Hit them over the head.
That's something completely different.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Carol McNeil, and...
Would you come up to the microphone, please, so we can record this? Thank you.
My name is Carol McNeil. I live at 110 Sunrise Terrace in Washington Borough, and I am vice president of the Washington Historical Society, as well as serving on the Board of Trustees with the Campbell Cultural Heritage House here in the borough. I wasn't able to attend last council meeting. It was on a Wednesday instead of usually a Tuesday, as I understand. But I was the one that did author the letter that I sent to mayor and council concerning the Campbell Cultural Heritage House. I was delighted to hear the next day that you did decide to go with the issue, the resolution of support for this effort. Like I say, I'm apologizing for not being here. If I could have been, I would have been. But I do appreciate your support for this group. I think that both the Historical Society and generally the public is in support of what they're trying to do in develop this property, restore it, and make it a very important part of the borough. So thank you very much for all your support. And anything that goes on, we're hoping we'll get this grant for this money. And we may be back for more favors to help us do something.
No, I really appreciate the article. I had no idea. It was a very interesting read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's the borough, unfortunately, has very little real estate left that has the historical significance. This is one thing that is, without a doubt, has more than almost any other piece of real estate. So thank you all
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hi, Louis DeRita, St. Creek Commission. I guess there was a question raised about the mulch that's being used at the playground, the quality of it.
Yes, sir.
And I sent you a little handout that explains what we did. I don't know exactly what the question was because it had gone through a couple of people, but this handout clarifies pretty much everything. And I don't know if you had the opportunity to read it. But, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them for you.
Well, the question was arose about poison ivy and that the mulch wasn't treated.
Right.
Right? If
yes.
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember from the conversation.
Okay, yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. No, those, as it's explained in here, what we took from Nelson is what they cut down over by the power lines up high. There's no poison ivy involved in any of that. And plus they've used the mulch in other places, and there hasn't been any issues as far as with insects or poison. I mean, it's just ground cover to keep the weeds in control. They're not using it in the playground itself where the swings and the slides are. That's got to be certified mulch in there. It's just mostly just to keep the containment of the weeds.
So the Shade Tree Commission was involved in this before it was actually done, before it was applied?
Yes, yes. We the one
the
that
beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, that yeah, we worked with PSE&G and Nelson, and they had called us when they were coming to the borough to do the work, and then somebody had requested some mulch for the playground. So whatever we had we left there. Plus in addition to what was cut down not cut down, but what was trimmed over in the playground there in the park area. That's all those wood chips also. So it's nothing that was contaminated, nothing that was had poison ivy or insects or anything.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Street?
No, but thank you for doing this investigation. And
sure, sorry. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Okay. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have no ordinances tonight, so that will take us to reports.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
Yes.
I have a question, too.
Go ahead.
Okay. Two quick questions. One's more if you can maybe find the information. I'm just curious now, at this point with the municipal court, if anyone's keeping track, like, how are we doing, comparatively speaking, before we had the shared service as far as the amount of revenue we're receiving?
I can get...
Are we getting actually maybe more, or...
I can get a comparison of year-to-date this year versus same as last year.
Okay, yeah. And then for the current revenue report?
Thank you.
Just explain for me the whole homestead benefit from New Jersey. Like, what where does that money go, or how does that...
You're on which...
The tax collector's current fund revenue report. We received $161,000.
Yeah, that has to do with the change in the law that happened in 2010 to go into effect in 2011. In essence, what that money does is that gets applied to eligible persons for the property.
So we kind of bank that money, and then when someone applies...
It gets applied to their next... No, it's on the case by case. We only get for what... If people apply and they're eligible, they get notification from the state.
Uh-huh.
That's what this is. This isn't like a bank of money. This is a direct correlation from an eligible property.
So this is going to be, we're going to be giving this out to the people that were...
Well, whoever got a home, would have gotten a homestead rebate, we got it, and that money is going to be applied to their property taxes for that quarter.
Okay.
So how is our revenue?
We get it. Any dollar that comes in, even if it's a pass-through, is considered revenue.
Yeah,
even if it's considered like a tax payment.
Probably have that again next year, but...
So this is the first year that
they do it that way. So this will be off next report. It has to be, there's a deadline to get this first out?
Not this first out. I think there's a deadline for the application. I think was it April, I believe it was? April or May?
That sounds right.
This may sound facetious, but can we use it for inter-funds use?
Smack you.
Okay. It'll vary from year to year depending on the eligibility of the property owners.
It just lowers the property taxes for some of the individuals as opposed to being for our general purposes.
So in essence, then we actually keep the money as a tax revenue almost. And
exactly.
And their bill gets cut.
It gets adjusted.
So if we need to raise $15 million in taxes, just goes towards but that person...
Let's just say your homestead rebate was $100 and you pay $2,000 a quarter in taxes. This one quarter, you're going to owe $1,900 instead of $2,000.
And with the court revenue, that's a little subjective too, because we never know how many tickets are handed out.
I think
that's a good point to look at.
Yeah, but it's more in the ballpark, I mean.
Right.
I can.
Okay. You had something, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah. On the tax collector sewer fund revenue report, the surplus capacity fees, the reserve capacity receipts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everybody?
No. We're still, two of them have to be recalculated. That's what we're waiting on. We have to, two of the industrial users' contract to discharge into our sewer plant expired this year. We're renegotiating, and Andrew's recalculating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I have a question on the tax collector's current fund revenue. If you look there down the bottom, it's like, six up from the bottom, it says inner funds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put a piece of paper there going across, it says $2,658,000.
The tan. Remember,
the tan is above that for $2,002,000.
Oh, I see. I've got 2.6. I can verify that with the CFO here. Yeah.
I mean, we only have 1.2.
I'll verify that with the CFO. Off the top of my head, I don't know the answer. Okay.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can I go back to the reserve capacity receipts? We, in the committee, we were discussing about changing that fee schedule for that,
mm-hmm.
right? Where are we with that?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
The reserve capacity right. And sewer connections, I believe we were discussing back in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything come across my desk on that.
No, there's three industrial users that affect. The recalculation for the connection fee, that was approved by council last year? You guys adjusted that?
We just were, I remember talking about that with Andrew this
I can check on that, but he hasn't finished a recalculation for the industrial.
He hasn't,
so it hasn't gotten to you guys. Once it's completed, it'll get to you before we send it out.
All
right. Anything else? All in favor?
I have one question. I'm sorry. The manager's weekly report.
Sure.
Get to that 611 one. I just wanted to know if there's further forensic audit update, from Rich, besides...
Nothing as of my report last week. I have a meeting this week. I'll know more on Friday.
Also, you haven't really even talked to him?
No. The report said I was going to be meeting this week. I'm meeting on Thursday.
Okay, that was it. Thanks.
On that right there, can we get a copy of that attached letter?
Yeah.
Oh, the one from them?
Yeah. Sure. It says letter, a copy was attached.
Yeah.
It wasn't attached in the report?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? No committee reports?
Just real quick, sorry, Mayor. Unofficially, I've been trying to get in contact with Hampton Borough to let them know what we're doing, as they requested with the forensic audit. I haven't had any luck yet, but I'm trying to start those ripple effects to go with the garbage. Speaking of garbage.
Right.
Just so they don't forget us.
Is that also including recycling and vegetative waste, or were they not vegetative?
They were not vegetative.
Okay. Okay, anything else? Go on to old business with the Recreation Commission ordinance approval of the final draft.
I have a couple quick questions.
Shoot.
In the back, I guess it's 355.8, powers and duties of the director. Let's start out with a letter B. Is he to be responsible? I mean, how's that going to work out? He's responsible to you for keeping with the policies, but it's up to the commission then to spend their money, as long as it's within...
Well, the rec director doesn't have anything to do with... When a commission is formed,
right,
they oversee the funds, not the director.
Well...
That's the statute dictates that, correct?
Except for the budget, right?
I mean, well, the only time they would have to present a budget to this governing body is if they're requesting funds to subsidize their revenues. With the exception of the changes that Council Magliba made last meeting, mm-hmm. This is what Council approved at the last meeting. So I just wanted to make sure that this is it before we spend money to introduce it.
Right.
I want to make sure that there's no other changes.
So for clarification, the Recreation Commissioners will be responsible for the monies generated and expending those monies.
Correct. The monies generated, but, you know, based on the fee schedule, of course, and the expenditure of those has to be done in compliance with public policy,
right.
But they
spend
the money. Correct.
Okay.
That's it, Mr. Higgins?
That's it.
Okay. Anything else? Can we have a motion to move forward and have this on our next meeting agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. John, you seconded?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All righty. New business, abandoned properties, repeal ordinance 7-2009 draft discussion.
Oh, I agree 100%. There's a discussion item.
Okay.
I mean, I remember this a couple of years ago with Councilman Higgins, and I support the manager on this 100%. He's absolutely right.
So this means that you get rid of the whole property, property.
Yeah, if you think what was, like, every 6 months, Richard had to provide us with an updated list of abandoned properties, which took more time and paper and ink than it was worth. And then it's a whole bunch of chasing down these owners of buildings, which is going with lawyer stuff.
Don't say that in a disparaging way.
But most of these are residential properties, right?
Well, I'm just wondering if this is the type of code and ordinance that we should be doing with the whole code book review.
You could.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you, yeah, absolutely.
If we're gonna be like rescinding a whole bunch of ordinances, who knows what we'll be doing.
But we're not really following this ordinance to begin with.
If it's, can it be part of your review? Absolutely, but technically it's still in the books.
Well, they all are, yeah.
Okay, motion to move forward with this ordinance?
So move?
Second.
To repeal this ordinance?
Adopt this ordinance.
Adopt this one, repeals it.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah, all right.
So this is not introducing the ordinance, this is just to...
This will be on the next meeting for introduction.
Okay, let me ask one more question before...
You can ask.
I'm just curious, the whole thing, why you want to basically rescind it, is because this one does not have any teeth to it. And I wasn't here when the original one was done in 2009, which is only 2 years ago. So I'm wondering, what teeth is it missing, and why wasn't it put in back then? You know, like what, maybe when we're reviewing it, instead of rescinding it, we should give it the teeth it needs.
Jane, it had all the teeth it could have had at that time.
I'd be interested, I wasn't here during that time, I could probably speak for Justin as well. I mean, we weren't here during 2009, so we'd like to review it too.
This ordinance really arose at a time when there was a lot of interest in redevelopment and a lot of money available for redevelopment. And the thought process was that there were a number of abandoned properties around town. And so the purpose of this particular list was to identify those and then to try to encourage developers who would come in and take those properties and perhaps acquire them in some way and so forth. The ordinance also made reference to the fact that the municipality could acquire the property, pretend to do so through condemnation. So I think what the manager has come to a conclusion, and at that time I don't think there was quite as many abandoned properties around or problems because the recession hadn't come about, and so as many people weren't losing their houses as they are now. So I think what the manager has concluded, based on what I've heard him say here, is that the amount of work to go out and get the list, get it completed each month or each year that has to be done, is not very productive. It's very time consuming, and at the end of the day, after he does all this work, it doesn't do very much to advance the needs of the borough in terms of dealing with the abandoned properties. I mean, there are ways that you can deal with abandoned properties in a very limited sense without having to condemn them, which means you have to call out the construction code official, you can call out the Board of Health, if there's vermin, if there's, you know, fire issues, if there's safety issues, you can call out. But the problem is, there isn't a whole lot you can do because the only thing that they really do is require that the place be boarded up, if there's vermin, they require removal of it. But a property owner has the right, as we've had some discussion, to have a property in unsightly condition if, as long as it doesn't provide a safety or health risk. So anyway, at the end of the day, the practical problem is that, you know, maintaining the list is a lot of work, and the economic environment is such right now that it's not likely that this is going to be a springboard to bring developers on board to do anything. The economy improves, things get better in the future, you can recreate it. Again, it doesn't really do a whole lot to advance the eliminating abandoned properties if there's no economic market to do so.
Does it cost money to rescind them? I just know we wasn't spent money to create the original ordinance, so is it costing money? How much is it costing now to 2 years later to get rid of the ordinance?
It also really has, really out of pocket.
Just the party advertising.
Yeah, the publication.
Was that close to that spend at all?
No, it's probably, I'd say no more than 150 for introduction and adoption in total.
What's that?
Yeah.
It would be good if you could advertise on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion?
Am I supposed to ask a question?
Oh, I'll let you this time.
This doesn't mean that there couldn't be, if people were aware of abandoned properties, any type of action. All it means is that the manager doesn't have to keep a list of them.
That's essentially correct.
Thank you.
Is there some state statute that requires this list to be maintained or not?
There is a state statute that permits the borough to create this list. It doesn't mandate that it be created.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Recreation discussion, new programs and fees, Mrs. Leva.
I just wanted to have like an open discussion on the various things that happened at the last meeting, but I sent an email to council and I just, for me, it became clear that I think we do need a recreation liaison and I would be willing to be that person. And as I said, though, I would step down from a couple of the other committees that I'm on in order to do that. But I wanted to, I think this clarifies some of the mulch questions that we received from the Shade Tree Commission. I wasn't aware that we were going to be getting this. So I don't really have any more questions on the mulch. I went down to the park and I was comfortable with where I saw the mulch. So I don't have questions on that. But the other questions I had was the discussion on the various fees and I guess understanding the difference between our duties and responsibilities having the committee and compared to having a commission. And, you know, since the fees that they established are existing fees in the ordinance, you know, is that okay for them to create a new program as long as the fees have already been established for another program? You know, it's the same dollar amount, but it's a new program. I guess what exactly is the process? Because I don't want to hinder them from creating new programs, especially if they're going to generate revenue. So are they allowed to create new programs as long as the fee is a current fee, but it's not specifically listed?
One of the main mandates, obviously, of the Rec Committee or soon-to-be commission is new program development. Obviously, they can come up with any concept they choose and a process for that particular program. But it needs to be charged within the existing fee ordinance, within the existing resolution that the governing body approves for that current calendar year. In this instance, what sparked the conversation at the last meeting was three particular events. One of them wasn't even planning on going forward this year. They were only developing in concept. That would have to be approved via the ordinance would need to be amended to include that. All of this was run by the auditor prior. He agreed that, and he says there's no problem with two of the events to be charged in the manner that they're being charged. For the new program, he recommends amending the ordinance to create a new category for future programs. So anything that the Rec Committee wanted to run this year is
in conformance. Because we don't have to approve their programs, right?
No.
What new programs?
I'm sorry?
What two programs?
The Wednesday evening...
the dip and dance?
Teen party.
Okay.
He's had that falls under the day passes, which is what's being charged. He said you can call it whatever you want as long as you charge your day passes for the event. And the senior... Was it the senior? Correct. Yeah, the senior falls under swim lessons. He did not feel comfortable with the water aerobics. He felt that would have to be in their new category, which was fine because they weren't planning on running it this year anyway. They were still exploring it.
The Zumba?
Correct. Zumba, water aerobics, whatever you know.
There's three programs. So which two can they do?
The dance,
as you pour, you want to come up to the mic.
The dance and the senior is permitted.
So the Wednesday night teen dance really is an extension of the daily program. It's just, you know, we're adding on Wednesday evenings. Then there is an instructional program targeted for seniors. It is instruction in water aerobics, and that falls under swim instruction fees. We're, you know, charging in the same structure. The third program that I believe that you were talking about is a Zumba program, which is a dance program, and that's something that would be a new program. We haven't fitted it into any other fee structure at the moment, so
It's just discussional at the moment.
Okay.
Does that help?
That makes perfect sense. It's just, when you hear something, council didn't hear it until that day, you think, okay, what's going on? But that makes perfect sense, as it falls in line. That's what I like to hear, I'd like to see.
Yeah, primary concern has been that we've needed to expand to, you know, the older teens and, you know, adults.
Absolutely.
So.
So right now, there was nothing that was created new that required a different fee.
Well, there is, but it's just a discussion stage, right?
But it's not been implemented, so, hey, hats off to you. Appreciate the hard work on that.
Good idea.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
The instruction would be under swim lessons.
That's it, it's fitted under the fee structure for swim lessons, right?
Is that $60 or is it $40?
It's whatever the swim lessons is.
It's five or six?
Five. You're saying out of town swim lesson rate?
For seniors? It's the same for seniors, whether they're in or out of town?
Doesn't matter yet.
Now, how does that go with the ordinance? Because in-town residents have, it's cheaper. Out of borough residents pay more.
Which event are we talking about?
Yeah.
As long as the fees are, again, I don't have to pull the ordinance, as long as the fees are being charged in accordance with what council approved last December, in-town, out-of-town, senior, adult, child, it's permissible.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave, I don't remember whether the swim lessons for in-town residents is a lesser fee than out-of-town.
They are.
Okay.
The reason being was, you know, I didn't want to confuse the issue with the people signing up where, when do I pay $65, do I pay, like, I don't remember if it was $55. So I went with the $65 because I don't know what the numbers are going to look like. We're just trying to get the max size of the class around 20 people. So predominantly, you know, today I just had a conversation with Susan Lennon from, she's the senior director for Warren County Senior Programs, and, you know, she was totally on board with this. She said that's a great idea. She's going to circulate the information in Warren County. So I would think, and I'm not sure, that a predominance of whatever we get of registration is going to come from outside the borough, but I'm not 100% sure.
So I guess if it was a person from and within the borough, they would get a cheaper rate? Or you got, I guess that's the question. Shouldn't if it's going to be like the ordinance and...
Yes.
I know you didn't want to make it confusing, but...
That's fine. I mean, if that's the way we have to go, then we'll have to make some amendments, but that shouldn't be an issue.
Probably.
Yeah, it was advertised at one fee structure, but if it makes more sense to have in... Is that your concern, Dave?
Yeah, that's... I mean, if it's got to be in with the ordinance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, the resolution is what you should...
Yeah,
focus
that's the resolution.
On, because that's what you guys adopted for 2011, based on the ordinance.
Okay.
You can amend the resolution, if you want.
That's what I was thinking. Why don't we just add these events right now to the, and just have a resolution like that?
That was the purpose of having the ordinance and the resolution.
I'll take care of that.
Flexibility, so if something came up and you didn't want to act,
We're advertising these now, and so I don't know if there's a delay to change the resolution, but we probably will be coming back in the near future with perhaps the Zumba program and, you know, as we discuss other programs. So there may be a... rather do it once, right?
Yeah.
A few times?
Please, I'm not doing it now, or would you don't want to do it now?
In its form, it's sufficient now.
Oh, okay. I just don't want to violate any ordinances or any statutes.
For new programs, once
my concern.
The Recreation Committee comes up with their new programs and their recommendations, they'll present that to council for their consideration for amendment.
And I would argue, if I may, Scott, I would argue if the resolution is amended in the passage that we should probably create a generic type of line item that sort of allows us a little bit of flexibility to create seed programs. Like different things that we don't have to necessarily classify via the resolution for everything that we possibly come up with, because then we can constantly be amending this resolution. So there are programs that we're considering that may or may not apply at all, and they could be one and done and would never apply again. So I think there should be some sort of stipulation or some sort of line item in the resolution that gives us a little bit of flexibility on fees and what type of event. So it's sort of generic.
Yeah, I think Mr. Bailey could address that a little bit.
The order recommended pool exercise as the category.
Which order?
The minimum and maximum, to give you some leeway.
Which order?
The auditor, borough's auditor.
Okay.
Even fees too, Rich? I mean, I agree with what Victor's saying. I mean, there should be flexibility, but with a fee structure?
No, meaning like pool exercise.
Yeah, pool exercise, and then you can...
$40 minimum, $100 maximum, or something like that.
That's right. Vic, you can say about fees as well?
Well, it would be the same thing. Like, we have a generic category like pool exercises, and we have the fee variance could be anywhere from $0 to $150 or $500 or something.
On the ordinance.
On the ordinance. So this way, you know, if we, from a marketing perspective, we're trying to feel out with these new programs and what people are willing to pay. So we might get feedback that says, you know, charge this instead of that. So, and then maybe we run a program, we don't get a lot of people the first year because they all come back and say it's too expensive, and we have to reduce it. So the fees, having a variance like that gives us a lot of flexibility. And plus, if we were to do a big program where it would be like a $500 entry fee, it's covered already.
Yeah.
So something generic, yeah, like pool mm-hmm. fitness and instruction, or fitness programs, adult fitness programs, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Okay.
His exact words, the auditor words, just one title. It didn't matter what you called the exercise, mm-hmm. as long as it fit in that ordinance.
Okay.
Okay. Good. All right. Anything else?
No, that was all I had, so if you'll consider nominating me.
Glad to have you, Katie.
It's just one point. It's just for the liaison?
For the liaison. Well,
okay. Then you're it, Mrs. Gleba. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine.
You're officially appointed.
I'll be coming to you.
It's a good group of people.
Okay. The one issue we still have is, what do we want to do with the mulch? Our last thing was we were going to have it all removed, as I understand it. Do we still want to go that route, or do we just want to amend?
Can I suggest something? Unless you're going
to. Come on.
Wait,
have your thing.
Yeah.
Have your say.
So you're from the Shade Tree Commission, and I did a little research because I've we've had some discussions about the mulch as well. And, you know, we know I went into a master gardener's file and et cetera, and so we know the mulch is safe. It's not going to poison the ground, nor will it poison people. And I think that removing all the mulch now will cause a really aesthetically unpleasing vision when you come into the park from Route 31. It's there. It's been spread out by the road department and the, you know, and the folks at the park. I would suggest that we leave it. It's a minimal amount around the pool area, and the mulch that is on the ball field side. If we take it down now, we're just going to be faced with dead grass and
weeds.
And weeds, right? So my suggestion is that we address this in the fall, committee or the commission, whatever it happens to be at that point. And we'll create a going forward plan for the use of mulch and other natural ground covers for weed control and, you know, and looks, with the objective of reducing maintenance costs, because I think that that was the original objective, but also while maintaining the aesthetic appeal of the park. It's a green park. We don't want it to be a brown park, right? So we'll commit to creating documenting a policy that creates a green, effective, and attractive policy for maintaining the grounds using ground cover and mulches. I mean, I think that's probably the wisest way to go about this, if you agree. Just leave the mulch in place.
How many of the weeds that are growing up through it?
Weed whack them, I guess. Pretty much, because weed whack them. Yep.
Is there going to be any put along Route 31?
No.
On the bank on 31?
No.
Mulch?
No, wood chips.
Wood chips?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't think there's a plan for that.
No. We're already thinking along the lines of how we're going to address Route 31 in the fall.
So we'll review the, you know, the park, including that bank, with, you know, the help of Master Gardeners. There's Master Gardener organization in Somerset and Hunterdon counties. I have connections there. And with a local nursery, address the needs of the park, come up with a plan, and then use that plan, you know, annually.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I would bet the Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden could give you some input, too, if you were interested in some of that.
I'm sure they could. Yes, I would be. Yeah, I'll make those contacts. Yep. Yep. We okay with that? Somebody?
Okay.
Logical. It means it makes all the sense in the world if you're moving and you got dirt, especially.
I would accept the motion to leave the mulch where it is.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Two? Any abstentions? Right, it was two. Dave and Rob?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's do 106-2011. So move.
Second.
Okay, sure, go ahead. All right, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Phelan just needs to speak with Mr. Fitzgerald for a moment. Any discussion on this?
We're doing number two, please.
106-2011.
One oh six. Number four on the agenda.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't confuse us anymore. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, roll call?
Yep.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Cleva?
Yes.
That takes us to Resolution 107-2011, which is written as 197 on our agendas improperly.
So move.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Dave, break this down into plain English.
Okay. A3285 would require that certain public contract bid advertisements are...
No. Here's the bottom line. This is saying that they're not in favor of this assembly bill because it basically puts all our cards out on the table and we have to go with the lowest bidder.
That's right.
We're telling
you got it exactly right. In other words, they want to know what the engineer's estimate is.
Right.
So that they can tailor their bids around the engineer's estimate. Traditionally, municipalities have used that as an internal document to guide them with respect to financing and things of that nature. But they haven't supplied it to the bidders because they hope maybe it'll come in lower than that. And you know that if a bidder sees that the engineer's estimate is $500,000, he's not going to bid $235,000 no matter what the market is. So this is a bill, in my opinion, that is a function of the Contractors Association wanting to have a little easier time bidding. So.
And that requires, that if I read that right, it requires us going with the lowest bidder.
But you always have to go with the lowest bidder.
Right.
Lowest responsible.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, as I understand the bill, Dave, that, you know, they want to know, they want more disclosure of information. If they want to go lower than the engineer's estimate, they certainly can. They can do it. But they want to have that factual information out there. It seems to me it's going to reduce the swing with respect to between the lowest and the highest bidder. I don't think that works for municipal benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make the motion.
Yes,
to introduce.
I moved David did.
Oh, all right. Okay. I'll second.
No, John did.
Oh, really?
Okay. Okay. That's what I thought. Right. Any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. 108-2011 for the Campbell Cultural Heritage House.
So move.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions. 109-2011, fair distribution of state aid for education.
So move for discussion.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Higgins, sounds like you have some discussion.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if you're familiar with Senator Daugherty's plan for fair school funding. And I don't know how this works in conjunction with it. It says the Constitution states the legislature will provide for the maintenance and support through a efficient system. Now,
if you listen to Senator Daugherty's proposal, he wants equal funding for each kid. So if somebody in, for example, I think it's in the Asbury Park or Freehold area, the state pays like $28,000, gives to that school district per kid in that school district. That's through state aid. Here in Warren Hills, I think, what they say, Patrick, was what, $14,000 per kid?
Around that, yep.
That is raised through both state aid and the, and through the taxes, where the tax rate down there is, it's unfair, if you know what I mean? They're getting $28,000 per pupil, we're getting 14.
Right.
His plan is, if we're getting 14, they get 14.
Right. He wants every student to get the same.
Yes, the same. I had that written down for my council comments, that I was going to approach him for his plan to have a resolution in support of at the next meeting.
Who brought this resolution to council?
It came from the mayor of Washington Township.
Yeah, it was the last meeting. And at the last meeting, we...
I thought it was the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a difference.
Because if constitutionally, we're already supposed to be doing it, then that's where I'm not quite sure what Senator Daugherty is.
Right.
He's proposing a constitutional amendment, as I understand. So that's going to be the next step.
But according to this, the constitution, they're already supposed to be doing it, and they're not, so I'm asking for them to...
According to the constitution, the legislature is supposed to set the tax, not the courts.
Yeah, that's the...
There's that, and, you know, what's the definition of fair and equitable? You know, I think that's...
$28,000, that's fair.
If I could, Scott...
To others have a different opinion. Yeah.
This is all in response to the recent Supreme Court decision, New Jersey Supreme Court, with the Abbott school districts, and where the unequal funding went to certain towns, and of course, the distribution is unfair. And of course, a lot of municipalities, especially in the western part of the state, for example, here.
I'll tell you what.
It's really extreme, the difference. They need specific funds in these Abbott districts, which is fine, but it does specifically state, and I guess Salim's, which is the mayor of the Washington Township's resolution here, just supports the legislative action.
Right.
So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree that it's way out of line. I don't know that this is the way to solve it, personally. I think that some places are going to require more funding for their students than others are. I'd like to see sort of like a min and max sort of thing, or no community can have 10% more than what the lowest community gets, or something along those lines.
Why should anybody have any more right to money for an education than your daughters?
Right.
There is that, but also, what are we going to do? What happens in these places that get the ton of money? Are they going to really cut all their expenses? No, they're going to raise their taxes that they can't get anyway, and a lot of these places are where large businesses are.
Borough, Mr. Mayor, that is not my problem.
Well, it will be when the large businesses leave those places because it went, you know, the taxes went sky high and come out here and take up all our open space. Or move to Pennsylvania, which is already happening. You don't have to agree with me, but that's my opinion.
I don't think that's our problem here in the borough.
Well, I think that it's responsible to look outside of our borders, too. Again, in my opinion...
We also have to look for the people who pay those outside the borders.
Yes, but, you know, do we take it from the left pocket or the right pocket? That's what I'm concerned about, you know?
We don't take it from either pocket if we don't have to.
Well, they're going to get the money some way,
shape, or
form.
This isn't supporting any bill in the New Jersey legislature right now. This is just...
It's supporting what the Constitution says. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
Any other discussion?
Let's have a roll call on this one, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
No.
Torres?
Yes.
Oliva?
Yes.
Okay, now we have a bunch of retail consumption licenses, 110 through 116. How about we do those all together?
So moved.
Second.
Okay,
Is there any discussion on any of these?
For 116, who are they? So I know where they're at.
It was the old...
Boxes?
No. Help me out here.
Our place?
Yeah, our bar.
Our bar.
That was next to...
Same class.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
So I'm blank. I don't know why.
Oh, I see. So,
it's now pocketless. There is no physical location.
Oh, okay. But somebody's paying
somebody
for
else?
Like, somebody
yeah.
has owns those places.
Yeah.
So
right.
Paying for it, but
it's a commodity they can sell.
Is this the one that's running out of
time
yes. that they can't just keep renewing and not using?
They can keep petitioning the director of the ABC.
Correct.
But that's not our decision here.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot. Ms. Blanchard had a request to for something, and I've forgotten it at the moment. Let's deal with it.
I had an open request for the executive session minutes of the Recreation Commission. 2006 and 2007. I've gone through the minutes because if you no longer have a commission, essentially this responsibility falls to you. I've gone through the minutes. There are some things that do need to be redacted, such as people's names and maybe a couple of personnel issues, but other than that, I think any issue that was talked about at that time is over, and I think after the redactions are done, it could be released. If council approves.
So we would need a motion to approve the release of those minutes.
From 2006 and 2007.
Correct.
So move.
Second.
And all the action's been taken.
Well, actually, sorry.
That's
in,
okay.
That's in public session. These are public session minutes?
Executive.
Oh, the answer is no action can be taken in the executive
right.
session. Whatever the
right.
discussions were, they, whatever actions had to be done, it had to be done in public session.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain.
Okay. Vouchers.
Any vouchers?
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I have one question. On page 16, the DEP NFA reimburses.
That's part of our obligation with the downtown parking lot. When the governing body adopted the ordinance in conjunction with the bid for the development of the downtown parking lot, the borough had an obligation to get the NFA, pretty much saying we met all the remediation requirements. Due to the fact that we meet twice a month, the bid paid for that cost so we can get the filing down to the state in time. This is just reimbursing them for our cost.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I have one.
Sure.
I just have a question for Rich on this one. Page 10. I know Peterson is on three experts called in, but why couldn't the work be done by our own thorough DPW?
After that big storm, that was when that huge tree on
right.
Belvedere Ave went down. We don't have the equipment to take down a tree that size.
I'm making sure. We don't.
No.
For sure. Okay.
Not that size.
All right.
Anything else? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Cleveland?
Yes, except Spinelli on page 3 and 4.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes, for anything. Abstain for anything required for him.
Boyd?
Yes.
Okay. Recap. Phil, what do we got for you this week?
Excuse me. Councilman McGlibber requested year-to-date 2011 versus 10 for the municipal court revenue. I will verify with the CFO. Councilman Higgins' request regarding the interfunds listed on the CFO's report. Councilman Boyle, the status with Suburban Consulting Engineer regarding the reserve for the industrial user's capacity in the sewage. Copy of the letter from the forensic accountant requesting certain documents. I'll forward that to the governing body. And that's it.
Okay. That takes us to council remarks. Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Dick Cushing. With the resolution for county roads. I got your email. What else do I need to put in that to beef it up?
The only thing that I, as I suggested, I think, is maybe to kick it around with the engineer to see if the engineer can add anything more. Look good what you had, but if the engineer has something else, you know, provide it, and then we'll put it together.
Do you think it would help to promote our cause to bring to light certain county roads that start nowhere and end nowhere, like in Harvey Township? The reason I'm saying is the request was that they had to intersect another existing county road and have for travel and stuff, good for the whole county. Yeah. There's a lot of other roads that I know of, because I travel those doing my farm surveys, that are almost like a driveway type of road, but it's a county road. Would that be taken as a challenge?
I think you might find that in those cases, I don't know this, I'm just kind of guessing.
I know, right.
That those are roads that maybe were historically county roads. In other words, they existed, they've been immemorial, and for whatever, you know, they were created in that way, and then they exist. I mean, I think my understanding, you know, a county road is more of an arterial road,
mm-hmm.
one that actually serves more than just one municipality, so it's more likely that the county taxpayers as a whole should pay for the road rather than simply the local users of the road. I think that's basically the philosophy behind it. So I'm thinking the engineer is probably the best guy to give you a little bit more help in that, Pat, because, you know, he may have he may understand the standards better than certainly I would, and probably be able to have something for you. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, you touched on the big stuff, I think.
Yeah. Rich Phelan, is that be part of Andrew's retainer?
Well, he doesn't have a retainer.
Or would that be a part of his...
If we ask him to do it...
And then he would charge us?
But there would be a cost.
Right. Dick Cushing, what do you think our chances are, ballpark, of even getting a road?
Well, I think if you get close to the standards, and then I think it's a political question, really. And I don't mean that...
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, what I mean is, and I don't mean that a partisan political.
No.
I mean just, you know, kind of... They obviously don't want to spend another dollar up there that they have to spend. They would prefer to have the taxpayers of the borough pay for it. On the other hand, they're going to kind of look at it and see what the fairness issue is. So I think it's a great idea. I think you should go ahead and do it, do the resolution.
Well,
it's certainly not going to hurt any.
You think it's, when you look at the county map, and then, I mean, the borough of Washington just jumps out. Like, zero county roads versus every other municipality in this county have roads, at least one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that's a powerful argument. Which is, look, you're paying the money to the county, just like everybody else is, and at the same rate, but you're not getting as much of the benefits, just like you don't get the benefit, quite frankly, of the open space dollars. You know, that goes to surrounding areas. And maybe that's another thing that, you know, kind of weighs in terms of fairness issues. Because that's really what it's about.
Rich, is Andrew still here on Thursdays or Tuesdays?
He comes in when we need him.
When we need him. If there's a need for him to come in, could you just...
I have to talk
15 minutes of his time?
I have to talk to him tomorrow morning on an unrelated issue.
Okay.
Do you want me to bring this up to him then?
If you don't mind.
You know what I would do? If you would send him Patrick's...
The email.
Email. Yeah. And just carve me in.
Sure.
Boy, that's a lot.
It's still CC, which is carbon
right,
copy.
Right, right. But anyway... I don't think it's going to take a lot of time to do it, Patrick. I mean, I don't think you're talking about his input is going to give you just a little level higher than anybody else would have, except for somebody with more experience. So.
Right. I appreciate the input.
Yeah.
Mayor, one last thing. Are we to do anything with this solar wind ordinance thing that we have here?
Yeah, I was going to ask the planning board to come in and talk about it or something.
The planning board has gone over it pretty extensively. John or I can probably answer most of the questions that you have on it, if you have any questions on it. It's here mostly for our review right now, any comments, questions, or things like that we would like to make back to the planning board.
And then it's going to come in front of us again?
As an ordinance.
Okay.
You know, provided we have any changes to it. If not, it will just come before us without going back to the planning board.
Okay.
Do you have any?
No, I mean, some of the things that Councilman Jewell had asked you about, and then you responded back, you know, I agree with that, but you put them on rooftops, you know, I saw that in here.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know. As far as the wind with the turbine stuff, I mean, I don't know. Somebody might have a problem if it kills a couple birds. But thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Mrs. Leva?
Just a reminder that we'll be doing the meeting, I guess, in August, if I request that, the executive session in August to discuss the professional evaluation. We said we'd be doing it.
Oh, yeah, whenever you're ready.
Wow.
You want which meeting first?
I guess the second one in August. This will give everyone time to do them.
And make sure everybody has copies of the evaluation forms again.
And that's it.
And Mr. Torres?
This is another question for Rich. I guess the date is now set. Everybody's going to agree on what Saturday to meet. And have another calendar. Okay. And then are we going to meet again before the 4th of July? Or one more time?
Are we going to? Well, we still have two regular meetings in July.
Yeah, when are they?
It's first and third Tuesday, whatever those dates are.
So this may be the last meeting before the 4th of July, right?
Yes, this is our last public meeting. We only meet twice a month here.
Okay. All right, I didn't want to go anywhere else with that. That's fine. All right, that's it. No other comments.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins?
Well, yes, of course. Let's see here. We said at the last meeting as a council or whatever we were going to, or individually, I just wanted to remind everybody the donation to Washington Celebrates America.
So you said you'd pass around the hat or something?
Tonight? Or?
That's tonight?
Well, they said they take donations. I don't care.
Oh.
All right, you know what? The mayor made the suggestion at the last meeting to have individuals do it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that.
I don't know how you want to do it, individuals or whatever.
And he's gone. All right.
I'll see you after the meeting, then, if anyone do it that way.
All right. Let's see here. We have streetlights out. Who replaces those?
JCP&L.
Do we notify them that they're out?
Right on their website, you can report a streetlight outage. We just need the pole number. Do you know where it is?
It's on our fancy poles downtown.
We can get the phone number.
Yeah, well, all right. Let me tell you right where they're at.
There's three of them that are out.
There's one that's located the first drive-through of the Wachovia Bank. If you come out there by the teller window.
Heading west. Okay.
It's that first one right there. Wells Fargo.
I know which
one. They're a subsidiary.
Okay.
I think, aren't they? Anyway, and the other one is located in front of, there's one directly in front of the chocolate shop entrance.
Oh, tragedy.
Yes. And the one to the immediate right of that one. I use that as a landmark.
By the way, I also noticed three on Route 31, right past the diner, actually going south on 31, on this diner side of the street.
Got it.
I have a couple questions for the attorney. We were talking earlier with Kevin about the condemnation of those buildings. Does that require Andrew's input, or can the code official do that?
I think the code official can do it.
Okay, would that save us money? Then have Andrew do a study about whether or not to condemn it?
Well,
because he's on an hourly rate, right? The code official?
Two things on that. The code official certainly is capable of making a determination as to whether the building is in such a deteriorated state that it should be torn down. With respect to Andrew, my suggestion was that he might want to take a look at how the proposed development of that site is going to go on. I mean, there's no you know, the lighting is going to be in a certain way and all that kind of stuff. And it's not clear that this is going to have to go to the planning board, okay? So, and that's why I wanted to create an escrow, so that the professional fees would be paid by, hopefully, this individual, or maybe whoever actually ends up getting the property. We might be able to build that in. But so that was the suggestion for the creation of the escrow account, Dave. And so what I would envision is one of the first steps that we would undertake, the borough would undertake, would be the creation of an escrow agreement and creating an escrow account, so that the borough taxpayers hopefully are held harmless from a lot of expenses.
Okay.
But I hear what you're saying, and I...
That's
I,
a good point, the
yep.
escrow, but that's not what I asked. I asked, can he condemn that building? He doesn't need Andrew's assistance
right.
to make a determination.
He has the lawful authority.
Pardon me?
He has the lawful authority.
Okay, so if he goes out there and says, this building, we're condemning this building, it comes down. It needs to come down. Then that needs to go into the...
Tax assessor, when
does
he give us the right value then, too?
Yeah, but you don't want to have it done before transfer of the property, because right now...
But see, that would
higher.
Have to go into the ordinance.
Well,
no.
Wait a second. That would have to go into the ordinance? Like, wouldn't have to say, listen, if he condemns that building, we have to tear it down.
Yeah. No, the ordinance, I think the way I would envision it being constructed... I don't want to get in trouble. The way I would envision it being constructed is that we would authorize the sale by the ordinance.
Right.
All right. And then there would be a resolution that would contain the details with respect to the conditions
okay.
of the sale. That would be the normal way to do it. Because
but that would be a condition
yeah,
of the sale.
Yeah. What you want to do is your ordinance, you want to have simply the structure there, because you don't want to have to amend that in any way. And the resolution would contain the details that, as it evolves, you might have to amend in some fashion.
All right. Something else you just said, though, about the lighting. You know, it might have to go to the planning board.
What I'm saying is it's not clear that it would have to go to the planning board, or it would not. I think we have to look into that a little bit.
But if we sell the property, he can pretty much, put the lights wherever he wants. I mean, that would require a site plan, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they were talking about, where he would put the lights. Doesn't that require a site plan?
It might. I
want to
look at...
There's a state law that says you have to have so much lighting per square parking space. I don't think we have anything...
Right. That's why the engineer should really be kind of taking a look to see, you know, if there is some requirement like that.
And that would then go into the resolution. I mean, listen.
I have to be honest.
If we have to go to the planning board, we have a planning board engineer.
Yep.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. If it has to go to the planning board, we have a planning board engineer. But listen. What I'm trying to do is save us some money, whether it be from escrow, from the prospective purchaser, or whatever. I'm just trying to, you know...
The duplication of services.
Exactly.
You know.
And the way. You know, you put government into something, it takes forever.
David brought up the condemning the building. If we're going to go that route, then we're going to be required to do, fence it off and all that.
Right. Yes, right.
So... We're definitely going that route to condemn the building?
No.
Here's the issue. The statute says you can follow the procedure of offering it to the neighbors if you meet the criteria that I described earlier, and there's no capital improvement on the property.
Building.
There's a building on the property. So the question is whether a building constitutes a capital improvement. Now, obviously, if it was a functioning building, you would say yes. If it's not a functioning building, well, maybe it's not a capital improvement. Maybe it's just a liability, a pile of bricks.
Yeah.
So there's some subtleties that we have to work through here. And I think I mentioned before they left, you know, we think we can follow the approach of simply offering it to the neighbors. On the other hand, we may have to go to a public bid. That's a question, and it's one that I don't know the answer to at this point in time. It's both factual and legal.
So we got to get the facts and then the law.
You and Mr. Salvaggi have to work out.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is it possible that Kevin could maybe make a donation to the borough to give us the funds to raise the buildings completely to the ground?
He could, but then you'd have to go through public bidding.
Okay. Which may or may not be the right way.
Yeah. It may be a lot more expensive.
Mr. Higgins, do you have more?
Yes, I do. I have another question for the attorney. What takes precedence? Our code book, professional, what's the word I'm looking for?
Opinion?
Pardon me?
Professional opinion?
No.
Okay. Evaluation?
Service agreements. Okay. Professional service agreements. Okay. Or our code book. What takes?
You could have conflicts there.
We could. So what takes precedence?
You'd have to look at the situation.
Ah, come on.
Can't give you a more specific answer, Dave, without specific facts. I've been around too long, Dave, to get into that again.
You know what I've been doing again? I've been going to the library.
Right.
Yeah, right. All right, so how does that work then with employment agreements?
Again, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I don't know if this would be the appropriate time to make a motion then. I don't know if I can do this. For next meeting, an executive session to discuss, do I do this here?
I'm not sure what you're
personnel
doing.
Personnel matter?
Oh, yeah, well, you'd have to Rice who
and we
have,
and we name who we want Rice in open here?
Well, I would think a better way to do it is for you to communicate directly with the manager.
Okay.
Ideally, what you would do is you'd go into an executive session. Because you obviously, I mean, the council would need to know whether it wants to do what you want to do.
Right.
So you want to take a 5-minute executive session tonight. You're going to have a discussion about process.
Okay.
Not about...
Content.
Content.
Right.
That seems to be a sensible way to do that.
Okay. And also, Warren County has started a 9/11 memorial fund, and they're selling bricks, just like they did downtown. The closing date to purchase a brick is July 31st. And once those bricks are down, they're not selling anymore, because if they pull the bricks up, the pavers, they pull them up, they don't want to impact the other pavers, because then frost, water, and everything else gets under it. So if you want one, you got to get it before the 31st of July.
Is that through the squad? You get
that is actually through Warren County Emergency Services, I believe. It's going to be built on the campus of the college.
Anything else, sir?
The lights are working in the crosswalk. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
That's it.
Okay. Mr. Valentine.
Nothing.
Yeah. I apologize. I wasn't here earlier. I wasn't feeling well. I had to go home and take medicine. May I come up and speak?
Yeah, we...
An hour after everyone's done?
Is this something we can just do after the meeting sort of thing? Or do you need it to be done in public?
I think it needs to be done in public.
And then we should probably have another audience portion if we're going to do that.
It should be very quick. I apologize.
Make a motion to reopen the audience.
Sorry, I wasn't feeling very well.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Thank you. I apologize. I'm not feeling very well. I have not for several weeks now.
Is that part of the reason for this?
Yes. Okay. You feel free to open the letter. That's why I didn't seal it, except for the official one. Okay.
May I state what this is to everybody?
I was going to read.
Okay. Go, please.
Okay. I have a prepared statement. So bear with me as I read this.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Good evening. I am here this evening to address a matter of importance to myself, the council, and the town. Here I stand before you with a heavy heart and great regret as I submit my resignation for the Recreation Committee member to you, the town council. In doing so, I lay before you all the concerns I have for the direction and actions of the Standing Rec Committee. As a Rec Committee member, I sought to implement activities and events for the betterment and inclusion of all townspeople within committee and through the directorship. I have been a staunch proponent of both including and creating senior citizen events in addition to expanding the borough's recreational repertoire. My intentions were and are still to create activities that will allow a broader range of interaction of town citizenry, but it is with great sorrow that I feel obligated to relate to you what I have experienced. For the past 6 months, I have bared witness to both the disingenuous manipulation of content and committee agendas, as well as a blatant disregard for the concerns and requests of some members of the committee. Perhaps unbeknownst to some of this council, there has been for some months now a current whose ebbs and flows perpetuate an environment that shuns inclusiveness and in return mars the practices and actions of the rec department through the promotion of partisan behavior, both overt and subversive. It is not my intention to isolate blame on any rec committee member, but it is with due diligence I bring forth an awareness to the direct correlation of cause and effect created by such an environment. As a rec member, I have regrettably found myself placed in a position of repression, censorship, and coercion. Time and again, the rec director has said to me, it's none of my business, end quote, during rec committee meetings for simple questions like, what is the progression of the pool's preparations? And again, quote, none of my business, end quote. More egregious was one committee member's statement at myself within the past week or so. This member, who should be thoroughly ashamed of him or herself for having the temerity to tell an American who has the same rights afforded to them by the Constitution and Bill of Rights as I do, that I should, quote, know my place, end quote. We are free and have rights of speech afforded to us. I will not stand by and let such comments be unmet, nor do I hope will you. I am here this evening to enlighten through my departure the degree to which civility has degraded and the debasement of discourse running rampant within the committee since January 2011, committee appointments. The lack of civil discourse and scant communication has led me to stand here time and again seeking answers to my valid questions, which you all are aware. When I stood before you last, I came as a citizen of this town seeking redress for my concerns. At that time, I was fully aware of the consequences I would meet at the next rec committee meeting. My prior inquiries with the council gave fuel to a fire in which I was critiqued and criticized for utilizing my constitutionally given right of free speech, and where instead I should remain silent and accept the benevolence of some members on the committee and the director. At one of these subsequent meetings, post a council meeting, I, frankly, was reamed a new one for answering a direct question from this council. Opposed by you, Mayor. How dare I question? How dare I go beyond the confines of this group? What gives me the right to, so on and so forth? Now you understand what life was like for me on the committee. Ladies and gentlemen, truthfully and without restraint, I can now say to you, there is an obvious partisan and exclusive bent within this committee. As I see it, having been in the trenches myself, factions rule recreation. Favors are curried for action, and self-interest reigns over the public good. What I do not understand is how a body such as the Rec Committee can purport itself as the selfless arbiters of sport and rec for the borough, given the actions and discourses I have noted. My last comments here at this podium were to address what I and many others saw as a critical yet easily avoidable threat to the public, threat of the populace, especially for those without a voice, the children. I present the facts, not hearsay, from multiple credible and indisputable sources, regardless of the consequences I would meet. In the eyes of some, I have broken trust, and as such, I must be punished. Then I say, fine. So be it. I gladly fall in defense of children and the vulnerable. I walk with my head held high, and no one can mar the decency and honor in which I depart at this moment. Though they may try, and I have no doubt they will. My hope one day is that this malady that has infected the Rec Committee shall be vanquished. Should the day come when the communication and the inclusiveness of recreation shines brightly once more, I will take up the cause once again with a smile and hands ready to work. Thank you all for the opportunity and your support. Thank you.
Ms. Shaw, I'm sorry that you feel the way that you do. And this may not mean much, but I apologize for any mistreatment that you feel you have done. It has been done to you. I'm sorry. And I thank you for your time on the Recreation Committee.
Mr. Mayor.
You've been a valued member, and we regret losing you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to review what Penny had said, and there's certain allegations that seem to be in here at the next executive session that we have, because there may be personnel issues involved here. I think it should be investigated by the council somewhat.
Well, we're going to have an executive session tonight anyway. I think maybe we should discuss it there. Potentially.
I thought you need the rest of the Recreation Committee.
Yeah, I agree.
She's speaking and they're not even, they left.
I didn't know they were here last night.
But
yeah.
The reason I had asked for an executive is because...
I got an email stating that they were here last night. That is an example of what is going on. There is no communication. The only communication I got...
I didn't even know they met last night.
Right.
No, tonight. You're saying they were here tonight. I didn't even know they were coming tonight. That's part of the problem. So wait. That's part of the problem. I get an email last week from Beth stating that how dare I come up here and why don't I explain myself to them? I'm sorry. I was unavailable. It was my anniversary.
Excuse me.
For taking the night off for a personal reason and being sick.
Can I make a suggestion here that we discuss, what we're going to do in executive session in reference to this?
Especially the other personnel people who are
not going to mention any names, not going to mention any positions or whatever.
I mean,
and I did not mention any names either. I'm sorry.
It seems to me, this is practical to move the thing along a little bit, if there's an issue having to do with the director and this individual brought up something having to do with the director, obviously, quite frankly, that would be something that would be in an executive session. There isn't enough content as to what exactly it was here to really, to call in somebody.
No,
if this individual has a concern, it should be put in writing,
the director should be given the opportunity to respond, and then you can have a hearing on it in executive session, unless the director wants it in public session.
But that would be the Democratic way.
Huh?
That would be the Democratic way.
So you want a letter from Ms. Shaw, basically detailing...
Well, if, she may not have anything more, I mean, I'm not trying to characterize, you were very diplomatic in the way you were trying to...
I was trying to be very polite and not point to anybody.
Correct, and I respected that. If there is a specific complaint that you have, then, to me, the way it would, should be done, and the way it's consistent with the policy, you put it in writing in terms of that, and you may or may, that's your choice, and you don't have to tell us right now whether you want to do that or not. That would be the proper procedure to do it. You know, we don't want to air these kind of things publicly.
Well, the reason I had suggested, excuse me, about it...
Has anyone heard from any public person, or on the committee, of anyone's behavior being unprofessional with regarding to rec? Has anyone heard of anything that's here?
Well, see, this is why I'd like to just continue this discussion in executive, so that we don't, if Penny wants to mention other names or whatever, it will be, you know, not...
No, I don't. I don't feel it's right, but if you feel, you must have them, I will release my email.
Just to get our initial investigation, we can hear that.
Well, yeah, let me suggest this. I'm not sure, respectfully, that the council should be doing the initial investigation of an employee. I think it should be done by the manager.
Yeah.
Right, and the way to do it...
But this is a complaint that you brought to the whole council.
Yeah.
I brought to the council, because the council appointed me.
You're a manager form of government.
And I feel I'm obligated to present to them.
I think we're just giving you, we understand that, we're trying to give you the procedure to follow, that if you wish to pursue it further, that it should be in writing, given to the manager for his initial investigation.
If I...
I understand it, if you're not happy with that, it can come to us.
If I thought that writing anything would do anything, I would have done it long ago.
So your intent tonight is just bring it to our attention?
To bring it to your attention, for apparently after the last meeting I was here, there was a lack of communication from the director, from, you know, so I figured, well, if I'm going to resign, let me give you what has happened most recently.
Well, what we've done tonight before you arrived is Mrs. Gleba has volunteered to be the recreation liaison, so she will be attending most of these meetings now.
To help with the communication.
I'm so sorry.
So she will be able...
I am so, so sorry.
...to perhaps witness some of this. And I don't know what the words are. They may give you backup on it or something like that, or corroborate what you've been saying.
I fear that anyone not... pre-associated with the members that are currently on the committee, who would join the committee, would in time feel the same degree of selfishness and ego that I have felt sitting right over there, or over there, when they had the meetings here. It's pathetic.
Okay. Now, let me just suggest something here. You obviously have, and again, I'm not trying to be a judge up here one day, I'm just trying to be a referee. You have two levels here. You've got the employee, that's one level, and then you have a disagreement between Penny and the Recreation Commission, okay?
Committee, not commission, sorry.
That is more, I mean, that's something, it seems to me, that's a public issue. Yeah, I mean, it's already been put on the table. Somebody's going to listen to the tape of this meeting, all right? They're not going to be happy, okay? And then what I suspect, you're going to have at the next meeting a whole slew of people from the Recreation Committee coming in and saying, this is wrong, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. You know, that to me is the way I see this thing evolving. I don't see that to be part of an executive session because, I mean, this has been public. It seems to me that the response is going to be public, and you hear both sides, and either you do nothing, you do something, or whatever. So I don't see where you go into an executive session to deal with the general complaints that, that Penny has with the Recreation Committee. With respect to the employee, you have obligations to your employee to do that in a certain process, and Penny can decide whether she wants to pursue that or not, and I think she has every right to think about how she wants to do that. Whether she wants to pursue it, maybe she concludes that it's not worth it. Maybe she concludes it is worth it. If she followed that process, then you'll have a process to follow, which I believe is in your actual bylaws here for the organization. You go through that, and then people can, you know, have those discussions in an executive session if that ends up where you are.
I have no intention of writing anything to punish this man. I have no intention. It is in your hands. It literally is in your hands.
Well, okay, in
if
fairness...
If you are interested in knowing the truth, I will gladly give you the emails, my notes, the audio tapes I have. Feel free.
But,
I will give them to you.
But
it's not my place.
No, no.
Because I am an advisory person. I've been told that I have no place.
Okay. Now look, I don't want to get involved in the dispute, but in fairness, you've made accusations against an employee, okay? And if the employee...
I've seen facts, not an accusation. Those are facts.
Okay.
If you want to perceive them as accusations, that's for you.
Okay.
I stated facts.
Okay. Then the employee has a right to contest.
Yeah.
Right?
He
it's
will.
Due process.
Yes, and he
so
will.
So where does he do that?
Do so.
Where does he do that now?
He will probably come to the manager, and probably talk to you, because that's what he's told me he's done before.
Okay, so
I'm
how does he
that's
clear
true,
his name in
but
the
I
public?
Don't know.
How does he clear his name
if
he disagrees?
If he wishes to come and speak, he can.
Okay. Then that's fine. That gives both sides the opportunity.
I didn't say he couldn't.
No.
I said this is a democracy, and he has every right to speak. Every right. But regardless of what I say, or what he says, what are facts, what is written, they attest for themselves. Numbers don't lie, facts don't lie. I apologize if this puts anyone in any form of constraint or upsets anyone, but I feel you should know. I honestly cannot see how you can get volunteers onto a committee unless they are in the in crowd. I don't see it. And if they're in the in crowd, for shame. For shame. Because it should be open to everyone. It should not be a method for them to exclude someone by not including them in emails, by telling them to know their place, by telling them to be quiet. I'm sorry. That is not the American way. That is not the way I live.
Well, we will deal with it with what you've told us so far.
Thank you.
Okay.
Christian, is the door down there so I can put this down, the mail room?
If you'd like to leave it with Christine,
she
can put
it.
I just want to put in my sorry, please, and in the mailbox. Congratulations.
Yeah. Sure. I'd accept the motion to close the audience.
Thank you. No.
A file, please? No.
Before you do so, I have a small statement to make regarding a decision made earlier tonight.
Okay.
And I would appreciate if Penny stayed with me at the podium, because I think she needs to hear this.
Hi, Raphael Scholl, 22 School Street, resident of the borough for 2 years. I have to express my concern over a decision made earlier tonight, and I asked Penny to be here, so she needs to know this.
The key was it. I'm sorry, I just forgot.
It's more of a little sticky eye. Sorry,
Yes, all right, I'm looking. Is that it?
Go ahead. You continue.
This has to do with your decision. This has to do with your decision at the behest of Ms. Zaporsky and Mr. Zioni and Fitzgerald to leave the mulch where it was. I have a problem with this for two overriding reasons. The first being that it is in clear defiance of your decision at the last meeting to, at the very least from what I could tell, make an attempt to remove the mulch, and as well as the railroad pilings that were there. And the second reason I am against this is because you overlooked the facts and figures that Michelle provided you at the last meeting, and instead went with the figures provided at the behest of the park groundskeeper. I can only assume with the person that Mr. Porsky was referring to. You went with their figures and agreed to with their decision to push the removal of the mulch until fall. I cannot abide by this. I'm sorry. I have to express my concern about this. I think it is a bad idea to leave the mulch where it is. Never mind the weeds, never mind the crabgrass. You leave it there, it's going to poison the pool. There's no denying that.
There's nothing in the mulch that's poisonous. We have documentation of that. It's just wood chips from trees.
I don't know what else to tell you. I think it's a bad idea to leave it there.
I mean, we have looked at it. We've spoken with some of the people who have donated it. We've seen, you heard Mr. Starita talking about earlier, how these same type of chips have been used for years around the borough of Washington in the Karen Nash Memorial Butterfly Garden, for one thing. Off the top of my head, I forget some of the other places, but they've mentioned they've been used. I think this council did its diligence, and I think we are convinced that the wood chips themselves are okay to use. Now, the railroad ties have been removed, you know, that we agreed on. But the wood chips, we believe to be perfectly safe.
I don't know what to say. I just want to express my concern about this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I'll make the motion to close the audience portion.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I would like to dovetail a comment off of the young man's comments. At the last meeting, which was 2 weeks ago, there was a directive by the majority of the council to get rid of those wood chips, and here we are 2 weeks later, and the decision was reversed.
Yes.
Make that... Could you put that in there in the minutes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do recall that we had asked the manager if he could remove them, and he said that he'd get to that immediately. So that was my recollection.
As time and manpower permitted.
No,
it's inconvenient that it was 2 weeks later. That's all I'm saying.
If I may.
No.
That's not fair to throw me under the bus without affording me the opportunity to respond. All of the piles of wood chips were removed. Council was afforded this via email, and a direct question by me. All of the wood chip piles were removed. They're not in the location that they were before.
We weren't talking about wood chip piles.
No, let me finish, please. Come on, it's only fair. All right, and my response to the council was, we started removing it from other locations, and we're going to do it throughout the season. The mandate at the last meeting was to remove the railroad ties prior to the open house,
and get the wood chips out of there as soon as possible, which is what we've been doing for 2 weeks.
No, immediately, yes. I understand, but...
You can't remove every bit of, every single wood chip in 2 days. It's impossible.
You get out rakes. You have manpower. You get out rakes. You rake it up, and you scoop it up, and you get rid of it. It's not a big deal.
It is.
I guess it is for our manager.
Well, there was a lot of wood chips, and he even said then the manpower would be used to remove the railroad ties, and that one of the men was out on medical leave, I believe, that used the loader.
Council's directive was not ignored. It was started 2 weeks ago, and it was still in the process as of today.
No, I acknowledge it wasn't ignored completely. However, there was a directive to remove the wood chips as well.
Well, you really think that removing the wood chips was the number one priority in the borough of Washington?
I didn't know we had a priority list, Scott.
Well, that's not for us to decide. That's
where was that? Was that at one of our meetings? I missed that.
No, that's, as I say, that's not for us to decide. Usually we decide policy, not what's number one on his workload.
It was a concern that was a citizen had brought to our attention, so we had acted on it. It was a special concern.
And it was addressed. It's still being addressed. It was addressed today.
So what are your further actions going to be planned to be taken then? Ignore this problem until next season?
With the council voted on that an hour earlier.
Mulch stays where it is for now.
Council set their policy an hour ago. That's what I will be following. And I follow what council's policy was 2 weeks ago.
Well, that supersedes last week's. That's fine.
I mean, why is all of a sudden this mulch has been put down for years? Why all of a sudden?
No, it hasn't. Not where it's at. It has on the railroad banks because nobody goes there.
It was placed in flower beds. Along the pools, along the railroad bank. This year it was expanded to the fence area and the north side of the parking lot along the...
It's not in the playground or anything.
It was expanded where we've been using it in the past years. Mm-hmm. We started using it in more places.
Like along the fence.
Right. Which also cuts down on maintenance that you have do if you didn't have it there. So I don't know. It just seems like a ridiculous issue.
Thank you for your comment, Councilman Valentine.
You're welcome.
Now, shall we have a motion for an executive session after a 5-minute break?
Please.
Yes. What's the executive session for?
For my questions. Remember?
Was it personnel issue? Was it
personnel?
Yep.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Thank you.